It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning, everyone. The Lightning is on the streets. The Lightning is in your mailboxes, and the Lightning is on the radio, as we are every Thursday morning, 5 minutes after 8 in the morning. Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com, joining us via Skype. Good morning, Bill Moss. Happy Lightning Radio Thursday to you.
To you as well, Mark. Glad to be back again here on Lightning Radio.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As usual, there is no lack of news in Hendersonville and Henderson County as we head into the holidays beginning next week with Thanksgiving. So let's dive in, Bill. Let's dive in and get behind the headlines of this week's Lightning. Let's start with some trail news. We've had some exciting trail news in the last couple of days, Bill, and you've got it in this week's Lightning.
Biggest news we've had when it comes to greenways and the Coosa Trail. You still there, Mark?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Oh, okay, sorry. I was getting a bad echo there for a minute. Sounds like that may have cleared up. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
And that was the announcement yesterday before the Henderson County Board of Commissioners. The really big news that the Conserving Carolina, the Hendersonville-based Land Conservancy, has reached an agreement to buy the 20-mile rail line from Hendersonville to Brevard, and thus really kicks off the final stages of planning, fundraising, acquiring the line, securing the line for the Coosa Trail. What this really means is that it's going to happen. I think we can say with near certainty that this development means that this is going to happen. There's construction grant money in place. There was that matching grant from the North Carolina Transport. It was some federal money, but it was granted by the North Carolina Board of Transportation back in August of 2019. A year later, in August, of this year, the French Broad MPO granted, also through the French Broad MPO, another round of federal money that is earmarked for construction. There was a little bit of a cliffhanger at the meeting yesterday morning when two county commissioners, Chairman Grady Hawkins and the new commissioner, Daniel Andreana, expressed some misgivings with this bridge loan that is needed. All parties say needs to happen, a $7 million bridge loan. That means short term. That means no interest. That means we promise we'll pay it back within a matter of not weeks and not hours, not days, not weeks, but months. They imply they'll have it back before the end of the fiscal year, which, of course, is June 30th. So that was a little bit of anxiety, I'm sure, for the Coosa Trail folks that were watching from the room or virtually. The three other commissioners and all voted. It was unanimous in the end vote. Commissioner Lapsey very strongly, and Commissioner McCall and Commissioner Edney all spoke strongly in favor of it. Mr. Lapsley, in particular, describing this not just a recreational amenity, and not even mainly in his mind a recreational amenity, but an economic development project, which is something I'm sure you're aware of from your service. Tourism Development Authority, that's been critical. It's raised close to $500,000 through the county hotel tax. The Transylvania Tourism Office has earmarked $300,000 for the trail. So the next big things, you'll see a lot of fundraising over time, over the next, it could be 10 to 20 years. The first part of it, that got the construction funding is Hendersonville to Horseshoe. So if anybody has ever been curious about which direction does it go, east to west or west to east, I guess the good news is if you're Hendersonville, Henderson County, the walkers and strollers and bicycle riders, it starts here in Hendersonville.
I'm really glad Bill Lapsley spoke to the fact that this is more, it's not just a recreation thing for Henderson County, because all the studies show that 11 connected miles of trail like this, Greenway Trail, has a tremendous impact on your local tourism economy. So this is going to help. This is going to help our businesses and create even more businesses in Henderson County. And that $7 million bridge loan, from what I understand, was imperative. Without that bridge loan, this probably couldn't have gone through.
No, you know it's going to be cash money. I mean, Watco has been, everyone applauds Watco for having made this line available. Watco still runs as Blue Ridge Southern Railroad, around 50 or so, I think it is, miles of railroad track for mostly short line freight kind of work in all of Western North Carolina. But they are a profit-making business, so yeah. When they... they didn't desire to give the line away or convey it at a dollar to Conserving Carolina. They negotiated a sale price that we've really not seen. I've not seen. We'll have to go report that to the ground as far as the rest of these details. But no, that $7 million had to happen for this to close. And you're exactly right. There's kind of a critical mass, as you suggest, 11 miles. Actually, if you take this basically 6 miles, and you add the 3 or 3.5 miles of the Ocklawaha, which would be easily connectable.
Yeah.
A couple different ways it could be connectable, but that gives you 9 or 10 miles there, and there is that critical mass, such as the Swamp Rabbit and Virginia Creeper, that linear park, as it were, becomes a tourism attraction for recreational, bicycle, and other kind of tourism, running tourism on its own.
So let me ask you this, Bill. This has been one of those hurry up and wait things. We've been talking to Coosa Trail what seems like forever now, especially in the 5 years since Watco bought it. Watco basically said, give us 5 years. And literally almost 5 years to the day, they said, okay, all right, we'll work a deal. So it feels like it's been forever. Where does it go from here ultimately now? How long will it take before we realize the dream of having this Acosta Trail?
I hesitate to predict when there'll be a 10-foot wide paved greenway, and there'll be even segments of that,
sure,
you know, the
sure.
first to, from Hendersonville to Laurel Park. And I don't know how much of it they'll open at a time, but you're right. It does go back. Friends of Acosta Trail goes back, what was founded in 2009.
Yeah.
A first big study of the Acosta Trail commissioned by the city of Hendersonville happened in 2012, I believe it was. But to answer the question, immediately, two things must happen. At least two things. Obviously, is the closing consummate this sale of the line, and it's the whole line. It will happen all at once to Conserving Carolina, and also very, very importantly, to get approval from the federal, I think it's called Surface Transportation Board, that controls railroad lines and grants this process called federal rail banking.
Yeah.
And what federal rail banking does is can be really highly technical, but basically it allows, I think, under law and even the legal ownership, though it will change hands, there's a trigger for some national emergency or other big reasons that would allow, let's just say it's Blue Ridge Southern Railroad, to take it back. They'd have to rerun a railroad line on it, because a railroad line will be, I assume, covered up and not removed. But anyway, that's what federal rail banking, that needs to happen. But everybody, according to everything that was said in the meeting from John Mitchell, from the county attorney, Russ Burrell, and others, is on a fast track. And they are trying to layer these things on top of each other all at once,
yeah.
Not go. They're trying to go from, let's say, point A to point Z all at once, not go from A to B and then B to C. They're trying to do everything, such as surveying and surveying they've done. They've
yep.
done a fair amount of that already. So the answer is that is supposed to come. That could come within a half a year, 180-day time frame, maybe a bit longer. And then I think we'll be talking about probably some more fundraising for construction, the final planning and design kind of thing, and off to the races in terms of paving it.
All right. Very exciting. And I'm sure the lightning is going to stay on this story. While we're on trails, let's talk about the city grant for the Clear Creek Greenway that's come through.
Yeah, just real quickly, we will. That's actually piled up a pile of grants, and this ones that was announced in the meeting yesterday. Actually, there were two. That there was a $376,000 PARTF grant fund, which is the State Parks and Recreation Trust Fund, and another. I think it was $250,000 or so from the from a state water resources fund, because this is runs along Clear Creek and I guess has something to do with water conservation. Anyway, the council accepted that, and so that one looks like that is close to being fully funded to run all the way from the Ocklawaha Greenway. It's kind of a spur, I would call it, from the Ocklawaha Greenway. It runs east. It crosses Mud Creek. A bridge will cross Mud Creek. That'll be kind of neat. And then follows along Clear Creek to Carolina Village, where that entire campus will have the benefit of a pedestrian and bicycle trail. And then on to under I-26 and on to the area of the Sam's Club and the post office annex.
That's exciting also. It's exciting to see all of this coming through. We're going to take a break here, but, of course, the big elephant in the room right now is Thomas Shepard and Son's funeral home. We're going to be talking about that. That's the main headline of this week's Hendersonville Lightning. That's coming up when we get back with Lightning Radio here on WTZQ.
Happy fall from Kaysen Oil Company. Fuel prices have dropped, so now is the time to get your oil before the cold weather is here. Schedule your delivery today by calling 693-0246. Family owned and operated, Kaysen Oil Company, serving our community for over 40 years.
And we are back with Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, the big story this week and the big story on the cover of this week's Lightning is, of course, the sad story of this one of the oldest family-owned businesses in Hendersonville in Henderson County, over 100 years old, Thomas Shepard & Son's Funeral Home, going through some issues. Talk to us about this story, Bill.
Yeah, big story, one of those only in the Lightning stories, a big long story with a lot of detail from the various orders issued by the North Carolina Board of Funeral Service, which resulted in the shutting down and locking the doors, at least for the moment, of Thomas Shepard and Son Funeral Home that dates to 1903 when the original name Thomas Shepard, and that's who it is. The current one, of course, is Tom Shepard, is also a Thomas Shepard, but you had it's gone from Thomas Shepard to William Shepard to Thomas Tom Shepard. And Thomas Shepard, back in 1903, had a furniture and a general merchandise store on Main Street, about the 300 block, I think it is.
Yeah.
That is now, I think now houses Park Bank, the old Shepherd General Store. And then Thomas, that original Thomas Shepherd, the patriarch, he sold coffins on the side and then formed the funeral home in the, we have it in here somewhere, in the 1920s, I think it is. So it is a long standing, obviously local business that's gotten in a load of trouble here with the regulators for a variety of things. People can read the details. The funeral services, obviously, the selling of what's called in the trade pre-need plans, the selling of burial spaces, the operations of a crematory is very, very tightly regulated, mostly by the North Carolina Board of Funeral Service. There's some small part of it's actually regulated by the Federal Trade Commission, but the regulators and the inspectors and the board, which sits and meets on what the regulators and the inspectors have found, has been investigating back to 2018 at least, or before 2018, a series of complaints or problems at Thomas Shepard and Son Funeral Home. The funeral home agreed to a consent order in November of 2018 that the funeral service regulators say the funeral home has failed to comply with. So we've got all in bullets here details of all, I think, six of the current complaints, and then a lot of detail about what a a funeral board inspector found in a three-day inspection in June of this year that resulted in first something called a show cause order, which was a longer order, spelling out these deficiencies that had not been corrected and were problems with the crematory, problems with not having a full-time licensed funeral director on site. And then after that show cause order, fairly quickly after that, there was the order to suspend operations.
So Bill, what is this it for Thomas Shepherd Funeral Home? Is that it? Does that mean the end of that long time business?
I wouldn't say so.
Okay.
For sure. I wouldn't say so. I wouldn't say that with any certainty. But the problem is, and this will bear obviously follow up reporting. The problem is with the health issues of Tom Shepherd, which anybody in the town would be saddened to hear of. But the problem is that the inspector can't find, and in the interviews with employees cannot uncover any evidence that Tom Shepherd has been able, because of some health problems over most of this year, as a matter of fact, has not been able to be not been able to be on site to manage Thomas Shepherd and Son Funeral Home. The problem with that is the law requires a licensed funeral director, and Melody Shepherd, who actually is the president of the company and is a permitted crematory manager, she is not a funeral director. That may be a surprise to some people. And not being a licensed, not having a licensed funeral director on the ground, really basically in the building to do things like sign death certificates and do all of these really, like I say, you know, tightly regulated processes, such as to timely file death certificates and a whole bunch of other stuff when it comes to that. This, like I said, to manage and oversee the sale of these pre-need insurance. There's pre-needs, it's cash-based, there's trust funds involved, there's also insurance policies. There's about four or five different ways to financially to get an agreement to have a funeral, to have a burial, to have a cremation. And all of this stuff has to be under the law. Really, it has to be directed by a licensed funeral director.
Right.
My supposition would be that one option would be a sale. One option would be, can they bring in an interim funeral director? I mean, I would think you could get it back off the ground. It's a heavy lift, maybe, but if you could get, a qualified funeral director or a few of them, some sort of team in there, I think you could resurrect it. But I don't know what their plans are. I have, like I say, that stay tuned to Hennesville Lightning and HennesvilleLightning.com to see what that turns out to be.
Yeah, one of the first things I thought of were the people who would have, pre-purchased any of that and that had, had money in there waiting for what ultimately would happen with their family issues. So hopefully, well, fingers crossed, they'll all be taken care of.
Just look at HennesvilleLightning.com at the tail of the story, or the Hennesville Lightning Facebook page, and you will see, Mark, plenty of questions along those very lines right this minute. So, that for sure. Like I say, stay tuned to Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com for what I hope will be answers.
Okay, fantastic, Bill. Let's touch on. We touched on this a little bit last week. The new potential industrial park coming over where High Hope Soil and Mulch, the property over there. You've got some more information on that.
Yes, there was a great amount of praise and happiness and hosannas over this yesterday in what turned out to be a huge news day with the Coosa Trail, followed by action by the Hennessy County Board of Commissioners and the Hennessyville City Council to not just grant these property tax incentives to attract this $38 million investment and 150 jobs paying around $39,000 a year, but also to loan the money, and I'm talking about the city of Hendersonville and Henderson County, to loan the money to the Partnership for Economic Development through a fund they formed called the Economic Investment Fund. They had to form a different, they had to create a different form of nonprofit that was different from, in order to do what they've managed to do. And so they borrow about $2.3 million from the city and the county. They had already put down an option to buy the all 41 acres for about $2.5 million. So the idea is to land this first big fish and get one other big fish, they say, they think they can recruit or hope to market to, at least a second big fish about the same size, about the same amount of $35, $40 million neighborhood investment in a second plant, and a third site, smaller, and maybe a smaller investment as well, to create what we could, I don't know if it's High Hope Industrial Park or the Garrison Family Industrial Park. We talked last week, people know Trooper Bill Garrison, the late Trooper Bill Garrison was well known around town.
Yeah.
Barbara Garrison has made her stamp on life and health in this community for forever, long after she's gone and we're gone, because she is the founding person out in the apple orchards of the Blue Ridge Community Health Service, which was formed to look after the migrant workers out in the orchards many, many years ago, and now, of course, is a big regional provider of health care.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see the rest of that story. I know Bill had his hopes on selling that property for a number of years. So congratulations to the family.
For years.
Yeah.
The availability of it it went perfectly. I'm trying to say with really the desire by the city of Hendersonville, Henderson County, and the partnership to find, in this case, close in, easily served by roads, water, and sewer, to find a sizable piece of property and look how close it is to I-26. I don't know if we said that.
Yeah.
It's at I-26 and between Upward Road and Crest Road, to find a piece of property easily served by infrastructure in such a good location. So it's a huge win for job creation.
Absolutely. Board of Elections has completed its canvas, but we've still got some election news coming up, don't we?
Yeah. As Elections Director Karen Hebb described it to the County Commission yesterday morning, as the election that won't end, and it will not end because they now are back this morning, in fact, on the state-ordered recount of that Chief Justice race between the incumbent Democrat Sherry Beasley and the challenger, Justice Paul Newby, who leads by 400 votes out of some 5 million cast or something like that. That will happen. Henderson and 99 other counties across the state will do that recount. So we'll see the outcome of that race.
Let's touch on some other good news from a dark time for a family, and that's the fundraiser we talked about last week, Bill, and promoted the fundraiser at Dry Falls Brewery for Ryan Hendricks and his family. Ended up being quite a successful fundraiser, huh?
Yeah, growing out of about as deeply sad an event as you would wish not to have in the community. It was a fun time to remember Ryan Hendricks and to talk about a beer, an English ale called Prison Chunk that was Ryan's favorite, and that had been reintroduced, and it was debuted this time with its new name for Ryan Hendricks. It's called Charlie Ida, which is his radio call name on patrol. So there were Ryan Hendricks t-shirts and pint glasses. There was a raffle for a gas grill, a silent auction, a cut of the night steak from Jeff Gallagher and his son Evan Gallagher, who run Dry Falls Brewing Company, and music by the Ross Osteen band organized by Sunnybrook Assisted Living Center owner Katie Inman and the Gallaghers and the Sheriff's Office turned out in force in big numbers there. We have a picture in the Hendersonville Lightning on page 6 of Sheriff Lowell Griffin and his general counsel, Ron Justice, there at Dry Falls.
Yeah, that was a great fundraiser and a good thing for Dry Falls and all those folks to do. Bill, there's if you want to know what's going on during the holidays in our community, there's two ways to do it. Listen to WTZQ and pick up your Lightning, because you've got a full list of holiday briefs and holiday happenings in our community.
Yeah, this time of year, it's a space-available basis. We squeeze in as many of them as we can. If you don't see all of them in the print issue, they'll all be under holiday briefs in HendersonvilleLightning.com. But we just note a couple things. The Operation Christmas Child is only on for a few more days. The hours are at Mount Moriah Baptist Church on Gillum Mountain Road. Looks like they're 3 to 6 today and Friday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, and they're open. All of these are open through Monday. The other one is right in town. It's just done it for years and years, Hendersonville Presbyterian Church, so at 699 North Grove Street. So you can hit those through Monday. The one in town ends at 6 o'clock on Monday night, and the one down in Edneyville looks like that is going to wrap up at 9 a.m. to noon on Monday, November 23. So if people are still doing those Christmas shoeboxes for the needy children the world over, then that's how to go visit the site and drop it off.
Fantastic. That and a whole lot more news in this week's Lightning, which, again, is on the streets and in your mailboxes and on the radio every Thursday morning. Bill, people need to pick up their copy if they're not a regular subscriber. How can they do that?
By going to any of the Lightning Orange racks all around the county, Mark, or visiting dealer partners such as convenience stores or Publix or a coffee shop on the HendersonvilleLightning.com, which we talked about a fair amount today for things that were too late for the print issue, and clicking on subscribe, which will walk you through how to join of Lightning fans that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or also easy peasy, call Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.